Yes, it's a Science Patrol, your Ultraman podcast. And now the hosts of Science Patrol, Rich Conroy and Pat Rooney.
Hello and welcome once again to the Science Patrol, your Ultraman podcast. My name is Rich Conroy. With me, as always, the lovely and talented Mr. Patrick Rooney.
Hey, everybody. How are you?
Hello, Pat. How are you doing today?
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Woke up a nice hour later than my normal time.
Ooh, what's that like?
Waking up that late?
I do it too. Yeah, I do that. I do that on Saturday. Melina's always like, what time are you getting up? I'm like, 7:30. She's like, 7:30? And I'm like, someone's got to walk the dog or he's going to poop in the house.
Yeah.
And that's already an hour late. And he's already like crossing all four of his feet. Like,
yep.
He gives you a little bit of leeway. He's like, all right, look, I'll just let
give you an hour.
I'll give you an hour, but don't try sleeping past that. And that's what you got to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way life is.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I wake up that extra hour late and I'm like, I really slept well. Oh, yeah. My God.
I got a solid 8 hours a couple weeks ago and I was like, is this how everybody feels? Like, are we all is everyone but me walking around like, oh, I'm coherent. I have motivation.
Exactly. Like, I can do stuff today.
Yeah. Not only that, I can feel like doing stuff. Like, it's baffling.
You're not wrong.
Baffling.
You're not wrong.
In the interesting news department, the Raven Banner release of Shin Ultraman on Blu-ray is apparently shipping.
Okay.
Except it is still in the pre-order phase on the website, which is odd.
Which is weird.
But
do have to order that.
It is shipping, yeah. Mm-hmm. We should probably order it together so we don't both get crushed on shipping from Canada.
Can do.
Yeah.
Can do.
You know? So, I'm cleaning my glasses because for some reason I think I got a fingerprint on them.
It happens.
And everything's terrible.
Yeah, you can't
I have
see
one foggy... Yeah, no, I have one foggy lens and one that's still not great. But, you know what? I'm gonna pause this for 2 seconds, and then I'm gonna
get back to it.
Yeah, hold on a second.
The top one.
Hey, that was the button. Good. Yeah, that went from a tiny spot on my glasses to, well, I can't see anything now.
I'm blind.
Yeah. No.
I got you.
So we're here today to talk about 2 episodes of Ultraman Max.
Is that why we're here?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you would think. Episode 10, Young Dash.
Yeah.
Young Dash, get out of...
Like, okay.
Settle your hash.
Why not?
Why not, indeed?
Hey, Owie.
Hey, dude. You happy now? I took my shoes off.
Uh-oh, we did something wrong.
No, that's for Dad. That's for Dad. Give that to Dad, please.
Get posted a while ago.
Oh. All right. Cranky landlord. Intervention there.
Sorry about that, folks.
Yeah. Now he came in and I was wearing socks and I had my airing out my calves and I had a blue drink and he was furious that I had a blue drink.
And wouldn't give it to him.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, there's stuff downstairs you can have. You can't have this. It's like a Gatorade
ripoff.
But I'm thirsty too.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. So anyways, first episode we're going to talk about is Young Dash, episode 10, September 3rd, 2005, or March 3rd, 2017. Futoshi Saito, is our director, written by Yosuke Kuroda, and special effects directed by Hiroshika Moriyashi.
Okay, fair enough.
He is apparently big enough to have his own entry here.
Ooh, fancy.
He passed away in 2022, apparently.
Oh,
yeah. He's been involved with Tsuburaya since 1967.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He was blah, 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 participated. I was going to say precipitated. He rained all over.
He rained on
Yeah. In the production of Ultraman and Ultra 7 as an optical photography staff.
Oh, very cool.
Then he participated in special effects work as assistant director and made his debut in director in 1973. Wow, this guy's...
Good friend.
Oh, he was the main director of Tsuburaya Productions, including the Ultraman series from 1990s to 2009.
Nice.
And he passed away in...
2023.
March 27th, 2022.
Oh, 27, okay.
Yeah, so he's worked on Tiga, Dyna, Gaia, Tiga...
not listing them all.
Cosmos, Max, Mebius, you name it. This guy's packed full of stuff.
Good for him.
Oh, yeah. Good for him. Yeah, whatever. Great.
Exactly. Moving on.
There you go, sir. Your entire legacy wrapped up into a moving on segment. So Dash opens. We opened up, but Dash is having their kids tour, and boy, is it full of jorts.
Not just jorts.
Kids are wearing like, it's like the Kevin Smith Club.
It really is. Like, it's awful. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I understand that in this universe, Dash isn't supposed to be secretive. I get it. They have a big headquarters, so.
Yeah.
But they're inviting kids every week over into the headquarters to give them a tour. That's how this works now?
Yeah, like it's a community outreach thing. Like, hey, you know, you want to get involved in science and technology and meet a. Bless you.
Thank you.
Pat did one of those sneezes where he holds it in, which are terrifying because I'm always afraid someone's going to have an aneurysm when that happens. And I get a little, I get like, oh, is this it? Oh no.
What'll I do?
New co-host time. What happened? Oh, this episode's going to be delayed. This is bad. So they have There's four kids out of Japanese Central Casting who are the polar opposite of all the kids in the 60s show who are wearing the tiniest shorts ever.
Yes.
Now these kids are wearing
shorts.
Yeah. And I mean, like, maybe some of them were not denim, but they are long shorts. Like, they're get to see a little bit of calf, maybe.
Maybe.
It's right? Bad. Yeah, but that was the thing. I guess that's
what that's the style of the time. That's exactly where I
the Kevin Smith Club.
Exactly right. It's the style of the time. You're like, all right, whatever. I don't have to like it.
Yeah. And the one chubby kid who I'm sure is named Tiny, because that's how they operate. How it works. Yeah, he's got his hat just slightly askew, so you know he's a scamp. Exactly. You know, like,
and I don't mind having kids in a show, you know, it's a lot more work, but sometimes it works out. This
kid's not great.
All of these kids weren't really great.
The other three are at varying levels of fine. They're fine. But this kid is, I mean, maybe it's because of his sassy mouth. I don't know, but like,
it wasn't
good. I think that's what it was. Like, so they've got they're going on a tour of Bass Titan. So they meet everybody, they meet Ellie and they all the different people. And this one kid knows
who everybody is.
Everybody. Oh, you know, blah blah blah. Yeah, and this is that, yeah. I can't think of what that
kid's name. I didn't write the kid's name, but because he's not important. But then
Kubo, he's only the
linchpin of the episode. Is, but he's not important only in this episode.
He's not important. Yeah. So linchpin. That's what I'm gonna have to call him. So they get to like the main headquarters, and linchpin says to he's like, "Oh, you're the captain," and the captain's like, "Well, you know who I am? That's crazy." And so they're like, "Oh yeah," and then this one. And then, what's his name?
Koba.
Koba comes in, and he's late.
Right.
23 minutes.
32 minutes.
32 minutes, was it?
Actually wrote it down.
Okay. And he's like, oh, you know, I overslept because, you know, and they were like, and this is your third tardy this month,
wasn't yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Easy with that. Like, you know.
And says, if you really want to fight kaiju the right way, you have to be prepared. You have to be to work on time. You have to do this. Yeah. And you're sitting there going, kid, shut up.
Listen, linchpin. Then he starts going, like, oh, you're not taking this seriously. And all the other kids like, we concur. Oh, the Greek chorus over here.
And it.
And you're like, whose side are you guys on? Like, come on. You guys are killing. You know, you're wearing these lanyards. We could revoke these at any time and kick you out.
And that, you can see very much.
Give it the old dash bash. Out.
This is a Japanese thing.
Yeah. Oh, of
course. You have to be on time. You have to be early. You have to work hard. You have to do that. And you're sitting there going,
you have to do your best. You have to.
Not really. It's, as long as they're fighting the kaiju, well, is there you have time?
To, yeah, well,
the kaiju show up? Specifically?
Yeah, generally, that I believe that time is worst possible.
Just when you need them not
never,
to?
Never when you're out on maneuvers. It's always like, hey, we're having a party. Ah, well, put the cake away. You know, like. Hey, we're all sleeping. Oh, it's monster time. Okay. Just what I want.
Just what I want.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
Yeah, so hang on.
But then all the kids get into the Dash Mother.
Right.
Because they're going to take them around the city.
Sure.
Because why wouldn't you take kids around in your ultra expensive plane?
Well, they're not letting them fly it. Let's, you know.
But then kudos
for that.
They're letting them touch every button while they're flying. And I'm sitting there.
We have those panels deactivated. It's fine. You kids play with whatever you want. The guy's like, really, it's only this part here that works. The rest, it's all for show.
Yeah. Because that's not how that works.
Yeah, we can turn it on, off, and on. It's fine. It's fine. We put it into...
It's autopilot.
We put it into pilot-only mode. I fly, and you guys do whatever you want. Nothing really works. Because one kid's like, look, I can take out my school. You know, like... Oh, no.
Exactly.
So then, so they're done with their
the tour.
The tour, and they notice a weird distortion, and a group of buildings start to crumble.
Right.
And Metacephus.
Metacephus. This is the way I went. With
okay.
Metacephus
appears, and wow, what a weird looking monster that is.
And the way I thought of this one,
yeah.
Yes, it's a weird monster, but it's basically a guy. Oh, that's Hemi.
Yeah.
In a big dress,
yeah,
kind of deal.
Doing this,
with his hands straight out in front of him, and you're sitting there going, "All right, I guess it has
like,
to do something."
Yeah, it looks like a big bird head, right?
It really did.
The beak, we would think. I was going to say the beak splits in half. Yeah, the beak always splits in half, but not top bottom like you would expect. The mouth just in half down the middle, and it's rows of teeth, and you're just like,
"Rows and oh, that's rows distressing." Of teeth.
If you guys wanted to make an off-putting monster for this episode, congratulations. Here's your gold medal.
You got it. Yeah. Good job.
Well done, fellas. The monster disappears when Lynchpin takes a picture of him, and Ellie is then unable to detect it because it's making an infinitesimally small dip gravity. In gravity.
Right. And you're sitting there going, A, flip phone. Okay, fine. Hide the technology at the time.
Yeah.
But I'm still sitting there going, flip phone that'll take a camera. Probably going to be a bad picture, but okay.
Oh, fine. They were awful.
They were awful.
My dad has a flip phone in 2024, okay?
Well, I mean, it does its job.
A new flip phone, like 3 years old.
Okay, that's fine.
The camera is still atrocious. Like, and I mean, inexcusably bad.
But the basic thing I go with on those is you all only want a phone to actually talk to people
right.
or text them.
Right.
You don't want everything else, because if you wanted everything else, you'd get the fancy phone.
Yeah. Oh, no, he can't maneuver around a smartphone. Can't be done.
No, I understand. I understand. Yeah. And they have those old people phones, big dials, big numbers.
It's not quite a jitterbug. The man's 94, but he doesn't have a jitterbug. Like, that doesn't have, like, the one button that's like, call Steve. Like, all it is, you open it, there's one button on it. Call kid. That's exactly. It. Then there's a 911 button, and that's it.
And that's it.
Yeah. So, okay, fine. Then Linchpin's giving Koba a whole ration of nonsense about, like, right. You know, you keep making mistakes, you'll never defend the earth making mistakes. And he's like, the hell, kid? Like, yeah. I'm having a bad day already. Like, the captain's mad at me. I don't need this barrage of nonsense from you.
Right. And he said, yes, you're right. I do things wrong. But so does the rest of the world. But I keep getting up.
I'm not having it.
Trying.
He's like, I'm not having it. Do it right the first time. Jabroni. So the kid takes a picture of it, and then the Ellie can't detect it, of course, and they just deduce that the kaiju is able to control gravity and hop dimensions.
Right, and then they also figure out that it's using cell towers that they can't quite exactly tell where it's going to appear because, right. Amazingly,
too many cell towers.
Too many cell towers, exactly.
Shocking. So the team goes out, and Mizuki and Kaido go to look for him, and they end up at the kid's house, right? And they're like, and she's like, oh, he left hours ago. I don't know where he is.
Could you maybe call him on the phone?
That he has in his hand?
Could you maybe?
Now, I understand that At that point, maybe the calls are expensive. At that point, maybe. Although Japan was light years ahead of us, I'm sure. They were like, oh, yeah, no, it's all good. It's fine. Like,
but at the same time, what I not, thought...
Is not the reason he has a phone to stay in touch.
Stay in touch. Not wrong. But I went with the, they are building extra time into this show because they don't have enough plot to do everything.
All they would have to do is go like...
One phone call.
The Dash guys are here looking for you. And he could have hung up and then
shown
freaked out.
Yeah.
That's anything. It. And then you'd have been like, well, wait, where, did he say where he was? No. No, we'll go look for him.
Anything.
Ta-da! Like,
you're not wrong. You're not wrong. He had the cell phone.
I just feel like they watched the episode as it aired and the one guy goes, how come mom didn't call him? He's like, God, dang it. You know, like, oh, now you bring this up.
You're not wrong.
Just thought of it, boss. Sorry. So the monster keeps appearing and vanishing randomly, but the kid seems to know exactly how to do it. Professor Yukari, who is Fuji, as we know,
right.
Deduces that it is attracted to electromagnetic microwave waves.
Of course.
The amount and the frequency of a cell phone. So Koba, Mizuki, and Kaido track the kid down, and this great shot of Koba chasing the kid, and the Mizuki sees him, and it's just a shot in the distance of the kid running at full blast, and Koba chasing him in silhouette. And I'm like, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I understood right away, okay, you're building time, because you don't have a lot of plot
right.
in this episode. I got it, fine. Kid has to have a cell phone, again, building time into the episode.
Well, the kid has a cell phone to find the monster. But
right, that's how it turns out to be, but yes, again...
Candy, right. You could have called.
Could have called. One phone call.
Where are you at now? I'm at the candy store. All right, hang tight.
Yeah, stay right there.
Yeah.
Don't move.
That's it. That's it. And then Koba could have showed up, and they still could have ran away. It's fine. But what's great is when, like, when Mizuki and Kaido arrive in the car, they're like, hey, isn't that Koba?
Yes.
Like.
Yes. In the silliest way possible.
Yeah, and they're like. They're like, hey, are you looking for the same kid we're looking for? They're like, yeah, I am. What a coinkydink.
What a coinkydink.
Yeah.
And again, like you said, that's when you could call him on the cell phone that you're supposed to have.
Ding, 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 ding. So the kid refuses to help. He clams up. And at this point, I'm like, I want to punch that kid so hard.
In the worst way.
Oh! In the worst way. And I do not advocate violence on children, but this kid, ooh, I'm the man, I'll tell you. They went 10-year hide, son. Hey, never God. Strike a child, but I'll make an exception for this.
This one time.
Ooh. Frustrating little turd. You're going to just make a mistake, and we're going to show you a mistake. You were a mistake. How about that? Psychological not trauma.
Wrong. Not wrong.
Kids like, I didn't mean it.
I'm never going to join Dash. Oh.
But then the Ultra Max shows up,
go ahead.
And he can't even land a hit on him.
Right. And what happens is the kid finally does tell him,
the
Ultra Man does show up. The monster sprays some sort of weird smoke.
Oh, yeah, and like totally gets him high.
Not only gets him high, but then you get to see all these multiple versions that are illusions of the same monster, and you're like, all right, there's a thought anyway.
Yeah, like not a bad idea. Yeah, he sprayed him with magic mushroom juice.
Yeah.
And Ultraman, high AF, is just looking in the sky like, which one do I hit? And like they show the wide shot, and it's just the monster, and like looking at Ultraman. Ultraman's looking in the sky like, which one do I hit? The monster's like, you dummy.
Exactly. And then the monster wraps Ultraman in his tongue.
Right, as you do.
As
when you have, because you're a monster with a big mouthful of teeth. What I did also like about this monster is he's got a big row of eyes on either side of his head, and they made him blink at one point. And I'm like, that's good use of early CG.
And it was excellent.
Yeah,
that part was excellent.
The throwing of cars,
not great.
Not so much.
Not great.
But you know, there's a lot of good destruction in this episode.
Yes.
To begin with, like.
And I let them slide again. Like you said, it's very early CG.
Oh, yes.
And they're trying to use it in snippets, so you can't really tell.
Like 2005. We're really talking. 2005 Japanese TV budget. So, like, you're really...
really scraping it, trying to do the best you can.
Right.
Looking at it now, we're like, okay, yeah, that's CG, that's CG, that... But
right.
It's not...
That looks like a PlayStation game. Only in snippets. That looks like a PlayStation game.
It's only in fast snippets, so it's not god-awful,
yeah.
But it's not great either.
Right.
It's basically where you go.
Right. So, they get the secret from Dash, and then What's-His-Face picks... Sean picks up Koba in the Dash 2.
Right.
And they go on to fight and get... You know what I was amazed is after Ultraman gets wrapped up in the tongue, he didn't use the sword to just cut the tongue. Like, he, the laser thing that comes out of his bracelet, right? I was thinking he was going to, like... Make the blade just cut the tongue like they would have in the 70s, right? Like,
that's kind of what I thought too. Like, just let's cut right through the tongue.
They would have done it now, and they would have done it in the 70s. But like in that era, Ultraman, they're probably like, we really can't do that. That's a little much. Now they're like, eh. Back then they were like, yeah, Gordon's got to bleed. Like, also he needs to bleed orange blood. It's got to be bright. It's got to be sweet and sour sauce orange.
Like, exactly. Where it's not real, kids know it's not real, but it's still blood.
Yeah, make sure the blood is bright blue, like sky blue. I want it to be,
But then they finally do, the kid does tell Mizuki where the monster is going to be.
Right.
Mizuki relays that to the team, which then flies Ultraman to where the monster is supposed to appear. Because science works that way. That
works, yes.
Oh,
there's no other way to do it.
There really isn't.
So the monster, he blows the monster up. Holy cannoli, big explosion.
Well, he didn't even use the specium on him. He threw the slugger
at him and
sliced him, and that blew him to smithereens.
Yeah. Well, apparently content's under pressure,
I guess. I'm sitting there going, okay, I have no problem with them slicing the monster.
Yeah.
But... that makes them explode because of...
contents under pressure. Like, if you...
okay.
If you used a super sharp sword on a thing of propane, probably would at least go bang because of contents under pressure. No? It just wouldn't pop?
It might pop, but it wouldn't do much.
I don't mean like an explosion, but it would be like a boom.
Yeah,
like it would be a pressurization.
Yes, yes, that would happen. Yes.
Yeah. Well, maybe since it's an energy thing, it had enough to... Look. There. Take that. Fine. Are we okay?
We're fine.
Yeah.
That science. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So then the end of the episode rolls around, and they're like, hey, thanks for helping us out. Here's a Dash badge. And he gives one of these snappy magnetic badges. And he's like, you're a member of Dash now. And the kid's like, no, I still have a way to go. And like, you're a member of Dash. Like, again...
Yeah. Stop arguing with me. I'm trying to make you feel better.
Mark for your own good. And like, there's this awkward, like, where they clasp hands, him and Kubo, or Koba rather.
Koba.
And there's a scene where they're like doing this, and then you see Koba like has to readjust his grip.
Because the kid's hands are so small.
Like, you couldn't have reshot that. Like,.
But no,
it's video. You have endless video. Like, it's not like it's a film issue.
But you don't have time. You don't have endless time. That was
45
time.
Seconds.
They didn't, again, it's one of those things. Why are you going to shoot something that stupid again? Everybody will go, I just readjusted his hand because the kid's so small.
I know.
And I was sitting there going,
but okay, they linger. The one problem I have with the direction on this episode is they linger on the weirdest stuff.
Worst bits. That's why I pointed out all the different times like that they built time into the episode.
The kid's face.
Yeah.
Just, he stares up just like, waiting for them to say cut. Waiting for them to say cut. Waiting for them to say cut. Are you guys going to say cut? I got to scratch my nose so bad. Oh, come on, guys. Like.
Yeah, you can see it.
Yeah.
And I don't really argue with directors because they have very limited time. Even though, like, a week to for an episode, they don't have a lot of time to do stuff, especially if they do have to do the special effects and all this and that. So I give them leeway.
Sure.
But you're not wrong in that it doesn't turn out well sometimes. You want the ones that kind of have an idea of how much time they have, what they can do with that time, and how to do it the right way.
Right.
And if something slips in, something slips in.
Yeah, it's going
to
happen.
This guy just didn't seem to know what the plot was supposed to be, so let me just build
either that he was trying to build drama, and it's just like, the kid's not emoting. He's just... he's just like, I'm going to hold this shot, hold this shot, hold this shot, hold this shot.
Yep.
They're like, am I supposed to be making any face? Like, no, it's fine. Okay. I guess. I don't really understand this at all. Most of what's happening is confusing to me.
Now we ask the next obvious question. Do you have a monster minute on this guy at all? Or not?
I will momentarily. I want to see if there's trivia as well.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I don't see any other than did air on Metacesis.
Okay, good enough.
Yeah. Subtitle, Transition Space Monster.
Sure.
57 meters tall, 49,000 tons. Homeworld is an alternate dimension.
Right, because they say you can jump dimensions.
Why not? Only appearance.
I could see...
It's a lot of suit, though. That it's is a lot of suit for one appearance.
The even better part is, it's not as bad as you would think, because it's basically a robe.
No, yeah, the suit's great. I think it's a great monster. Like, the design's innovative.
Right.
It's got that crazy mouth.
You could see bringing this guy back. Unless the suit
was super, fragile and difficult to work with. They were like, yeah, there's only so much we can do with this guy. Okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, honestly, I see no reason why you couldn't.
Could not bring him back.
Right.
100% right.
Right. I mean, fine. I get it. These things happen. Let's see if there's any sort of... you know what I did like? Is there's a scene where people are fleeing an outdoor cafe.
Right.
And they're running, and then we cut to the monster pulling down a cell tower, and then it falls in the cafe, and it's a miniature shot of the cafe with the thing falling.
Yeah.
And then people green screen in front of it, and I'm like, well, that looked really good.
You can tell when they did the green screen.
Oh, of course.
As opposed to the CG, and the green screens look better because they know what to do with that.
Right.
The CG is wonky at best at
this point. Oh, we forgot to mention that they almost crushed Koba and the kid with another cell tower.
I mean, this monster did knock down a bunch of cell towers in this episode, which, okay, fine.
Yeah,
fine.
I don't think they made a full-size vinyl of this guy. There is an eraser, but
want an eraser of a kaiju. It's just not going to look good, I wouldn't think.
No, they look pretty good, actually. Right. I mean, they do a lot of detail with these... With these erasers.
Oh, that's not terrible.
Right? Like,
that's not terrible. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
And if you wanted to have a collection of
erasers.
Monsters, like, that don't take up
space.
Every inch of flat surface you have, and because ask me how I know. Because I used to have a bunch.
I understand.
Because you'd pick them up cheap. I once went to I probably told this story on the show before, I repeat myself once in a while. I went to the Tower Records up on Route 17, the closeout center, or the whatever they called it.
Whatever.
Clearance center.
Clearance center, right.
And there was a bin of Ultraman monsters. Oh. Like, a giant dump bin, like one of those Walmart,
big bins.
Yeah. And they were a dollar a piece.
Nice.
I was like, what in the green hell? So I bought, I think, $20 worth of them.
Yeah.
Sold them on eBay.
Nice.
Never went back. Yeah, that's what you're going to do.
That's the way it works.
Yeah. But, 22, it was like...
Can't argue it.
I'm like, why is there a bin of Ultraman monsters? This doesn't make any sense. I'm like, well, strike while the iron's hot, as they
say. Yeah, gotta do it.
I can see why people kept saying, you guys gotta do Ultraman Max.
It's not terrible. This wasn't a great episode. The next episode I thought was better. Yeah.
Although, I did like when the kids were hanging out at the playground and they were all like, man, Dash couldn't even beat the monster. What a bunch of hosers. Like,
yeah. If it wasn't for Max, they wouldn't be able to
do anything. Right, and you're like... Well, they're not wrong. They're not.
I know. But still, I'm not supposed to say it.
Now, we're going to talk next about the Prophecy of Barati, and that'll be in right after this in a second.
Yeah.
you while I'm doing that. We are back with episode 11 of Ultraman Max, The Prophecy of Barati.
Now, you're saying Barati. Yeah. The show, that's actually a J, so wouldn't that be Baraji?
Baraji, yeah. You're right. You know what's funny is it says Baraji no Yogen as the Japanese title. I don't know why they're calling it Barati.
It happens. No worries. Things, all good. That's why I was confused, but no problem.
I'll say September 10th, 2005, March 6th, 2017 here in the U.S., directed by one Shusuke Kaneko. That name should sound familiar to you. Written by Masayaki Ozaki and special effects directed by Mr. Shusuke Kaneko. Shusuke Kaneko is the director of the 90s Gamera films. Now.
Go ahead.
Shusuke Kaneko is the, like I said, the director of the Gamera films, which is the very reason that, hold on a second, I'm double screening here,
uh-oh,
guys.
Uh-oh.
Double screening, which is
things going
the
on.
Very reason that Akio Fujitani is in this episode as the professor's daughter. Akio Fujitani is the main protagonist in the 90s Gamera films.
Ah, so he knew her as an actress, used her in this.
And
as
she
well.
Is also the daughter of what?
I know.
Martial arts, and I use this in very big finger quotes, superstar, film star.
No idea.
Take a guess.
Jackie Chan.
No. Well, not an obvious guess.
Well, then.
Okay, who purports to be a master of a certain Japanese martial art? Where he would have possibly a Japanese, half-Japanese daughter. I'll give, that's a hint.
Steven,
yeah. Yeah, Steven Seagal. That's Steven Seagal's daughter. Yes, that load.
That load of nonsense.
I think one of the only people to get a 4-hour dollop. Four episodes.
Yes.
Yeah. Poor, now there's four. Because right. At the end of three, Gareth is like, how are we not done? Because there's more on this guy.
Because he's such a tool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
God.
He's a turd monster.
Yeah, he is.
So,
oh, God.
Because she showed up, and I'm like, is that who I think it is? That, to the internet. And, yeah.
She didn't strike anything to me, because I've
never Well, I don't think you've ever seen the Gamera films, right?
No.
They're good. You should see them.
I know I should. That's the... Everybody keeps telling me, oh, you should watch this, you should watch this, and I keep telling them the same exact thing.
When? No.
No, just no, when? No. I don't have time to watch everything. I just don't.
I know. It's people at work, oh, are you watching Succession? No. No, I don't have time to watch everything. I'm watching my movies, I'm watching my stuff. I
only have so much time in
right.
a month.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, the invincible magnetic monster Antlar arrives. Predicted by ancient prophecy.
Oh, good God.
The prophecy, however, may hold the key to his defeat. Good yes. thing.
And if it wasn't for the prophecy, he wouldn't have been defeated.
Yeah, or, well, he also wouldn't have shown up, so we can blame both sides. Okay,
okay, okay fine.
Well, Kaido and Mizuki are patrolling the city. A large amount of the ground caves in, and sand is thrown up, burying buildings.
That was
stupendous.
Excellent.
Stupendous.
Excellent. And again, this is now where they use the CG. Right
I don't think
way.
That was, a lot of it was CG. Like when they, I think they did one of those tarps. They
yeah.
painted all the roads and all the like parking lots. And collapsed it and with all the miniatures falling in on it. And I'm like, that's so good.
Well done.
There is some CG in that, yes.
A lot of the sand, they're not going to use miniatures for the sand because you'll never get the sand out.
When it starts spilling out of parking decks and all the cars come with it.
You think
like,
that was
oh, yeah.
That was actually
like, for sure.
Okay.
For
okay.
sure. Because sand, I don't know if you've ever seen a little movie called The Mummy with an actor called Mr. Yeah. Brendan Fraser.
Yes.
Sand is hard to animate, much like water.
True.
Back okay. then, anyhow.
Yeah.
So.
They got to use actual sand.
They're like, we got to shop back. It'll be fine.
We got air blowers.
We'll be all right. We got a compressor. I'm so used to having compressed air at work.
Yes. Yes.
That I walk around the house and I'll see something that needs dusting and my arm moves
to get the
compressor for the air gun. which is not there. But I'm like, oh, I can blow that up. No, I can't. I'm at home.
I understand.
Like,
I understand.
It's always within arm's reach. Anywhere you are at work, there's a gun.
Like, air gun.
Literally around. An air gun. Some, yeah. Like, you can grab it and blow something off. It's
ubiquitous. You have to be able to.
It's ubiquitous.
Yeah.
And, like, even in places you wouldn't think there is one.
There is one.
Other than the bathroom. Which is good, because there's too many opportunities for shenanigans. A large amount of the ground, like we said, caves in, etc. A strong magnetic field then blocks the cameras and the satellite.
Amazingly.
And base Titan systems are paralyzed. Communications are knocked out. Kaido and Mizuki are forced to make an emergency landing in Dashbird 1.
Right.
And I love that, like, they're like, they're flying around. And he's like, you know, countless buildings with countless people. And it's just like, what are you waxing philosophical for? Like, it's like, I'm just saying, sometimes I talk to talk, you know, like.
Talk otherwise, it's the empty silence.
Otherwise, yeah, it's awkward silence with you in the back seat. I can't even look at you. Like, it's weird. It's like we're piggybacking in the sky. It's very odd.
I know.
So, but
when the jet crashed,
yeah,
the CG explosion that they used.
Oh, when that airliner or whatever it was, that was great.
That was excellent.
Oh yeah.
And I was sitting there going, you know, that they didn't use propane for that one.
No, it was pretty. It was
terrible.
Yeah.
But because it was supposed to be a jet, they could just put it more flamethrower. Don't worry about it. It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. But yeah, it's crazy. So, and then Ellie is glitching out. That was interesting. She did a good job with that. Sander ups in front of them, and Antler appears.
Yeah.
The two of them attack, and the monster steals their weapons with magnetism before burrowing away.
Because that happens. Okay, he's
like,
sure.
He's like, shoot at me, eh? And then he takes her gun, and she's like, I give that back! And then he goes, he's not going to listen to you.
And I'm sitting there watching that going, okay, so they went silly on
that. Yeah, clearly he's not going to listen to you. He's a giant monster. But I do love that, like, they'll yell something at Ultraman from the ground.
And he'll hear.
Clearly a quarter of a mile away. They're like, Ultraman, don't forget groceries. He's like, right on, you know, like.
The best.
We need eggs.
Best one for that is the first Shazam movie. Where the
oh, yeah, where he's like, are you monologuing? I can't hear a thing.
You're just a mile away, dude, and there's all kinds of traffic. I got nothing. All right, here goes.
So Professor Yukari Yoshinaga discovers that a long time ago, a civilization called Baraji was destroyed by Antler. They left a prophecy, as they always do.
As they always do.
Saying that in 4,000 years, the kaiju would return.
And shockingly, that's today.
Yeah. You know when prophecies work?
Fiction. When you need them to.
No, fiction. Because there's always like some, oh, the world's going to end. They said, this year it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So you guys better sign all over all your property to me.
Yeah.
Like,
the fuck with that.
Also, I'm going to be sleeping with all your wives. All of them. Every one of them.
Every single one of them.
Yeah. Hot ones first, light, pour wine. this episode brought to you by David Koresh.
God. Koresh, Jim Jones, all of them.
Start a cult. Ask us how.
God.
This was discovered in an great archaeologist's, Professor Sakata's findings. However, he passed away five years previously.
Right.
Oh, right. No, what will we do?
What should we ever do?
So, Mizuki and Kaido head over to the university to research him. And they run into a woman who turns out to be his daughter.
Right.
And whom I have a thing for.
If you know who the girl is.
Doesn't matter. It wouldn't have mattered if she was a perfect stranger. I have a thing for her.
That's fine. But what I do like is they actually use a regular university library.
Yeah. They didn't have computers.
Well, they couldn't use the computers because Antlar knocked them out. Okay, right. Sure.
Sure. What?
Exactly.
Right.
But then they're using an actual university library because why would you actually buy books when you can just rent the library for a day when it's closed and film it there? And
or just say, we're closing it for a couple hours.
Yeah, closing a little early today.
Well, yeah, because they're not going to do it, you know, maybe they did it when it was off season. Who knows?
Anyway.
Who knows? Still, So she refuses to help him out. She believes Antlar is a punishment to humanity for destroying the environment. My favorite thing, she's like, it's like, I don't know how much environmental damage we were doing 4,000 years ago. Like,
exactly.
It's like just one guy dumping his chamber pot into the river. Like, well,
you're not wrong.
Right. You're so, not wrong. Okay, fine. Now, they don't know that, they find that there is a thing called the Blue Stone of Baraji that was left to defeat the monster, but they don't know that she has it.
Right.
So, right. Okay, we then see this, the tragic scene of her and her father on his deathbed, and he gives her the...
Amazingly, the Blue Stone.
Yeah, but like, the dramatically wrapped, so you have to do four.
And I'm sitting here, again, this is another...
I know, it's a show.
Right. I get the point that you want to build drama. This is not the point. But whatever. Again, it's another one of those...
But he dies. He's like, you need to take this stone to protect humanity. And then he does like the...
Yep. Like, you're not wrong.
It is the most like... Not wrong. If you're 10 years old playing... on the playground with your friends, and you've just made the heroic sacrifice, and you go, and don't forget to tell that girl in class, she has cooties, and then you head lolls to one side. Like, he was just short of like, his tongue sticking out.
He had stung out. It wouldn't been just about as good.
Yeah. And you're like, right, that's kid show. It's fine. Moving on. So then the hospital is under attack, right?
Of course
it is. And so why wouldn't it be? Everyone's running past the university. It's great scene. People are like abandoning cars. My favorite is one guy leaves his car and another guy runs past and shuts the door. Oh, I don't want the guy's battery to go dead.
And the way I thought of that,
the Japanese, very polite.
I didn't even think that. I thought, you know what? This is going to be in other people's way. Let me shut the door.
Oh, no, no, I don't want this kid. This guy's going to come back to
somebody.
This guy's going to have to call AAA when he gets back. I don't want that. Shut that right there. So the nurses are getting all these people out. And then the guy on crutches collapses and
they help him up.
Yuri runs over and she's like, oh, come on, you got to get up. And
yeah.
So. There's this police guy, or Nash civil defense dude.
Whatever he is.
And clearly the hero of the story comes over and he's like, is that everyone? And they're like, no, there's still children in the hospital.
I can't help it. I can't help this guy.
No, my first thought was, women and children first? Isn't that the rule? Isn't that the rule? Maybe sick people go first? I don't know. But then he goes...
Well, that's dangerous. I'm going to help this guy.
Well, yeah, he was like, I can't do that. I'm scared. Like, it's too dangerous. Yeah. And it's like, that's your job.
It's what you signed up for.
Like, dude.
Yep.
And then, so the nurses go back with Yuri. And they're like, all right, come on, we'll go. Oh, and then Mizuki shows up, too. And there's these children up on, like, the next floor. There's debris and everything. They're crying.
Which wasn't a bad shot. Again, they using kids in a show, not great. But these kids, all they had to do was cry and say, "Mommy,"
and look upset.
Yeah.
Remember, a monster is coming to kill you. Wait, really? Use that. Use that quick.
Get her now.
Yeah. Tell them it's fake after. So then they find it. And Sean has invented some new gun.
Right, and which it's called the Dash Derringer, because I had to write that
down. And it is the biggest Derringer you've ever seen.
And
two handles, it's got some sort of spinning chamber.
Yep. And I'm sitting there going, okay. I mean, I get you want to show off a fancy new gun, but can we at least make it look somewhat realistic a little bit?
Maybe they weren't allowed to at that point.
Yeah, I guess maybe.
That's maybe, like, you can't.
You can't have real guns.
That's why that's... Oh! Then they have to lure Antlar out. I forgot about this. So they bust out this little briefcase, and it's got different rounds for the handguns in
different
it.
Different pheromones.
And one of them is a pheromone shot, right? So not only did you get him out of the hole, now he's horny. That's not, I mean.
It's not a good combination.
Yeah. No. It's really not. I'm giant size and I'm looking for love, everybody. Come on. How you doing? Man, like yesterday, and I don't know why I was singing Super Freak at work.
Okay. I can see that. It happens. Out of nowhere.
Wandered into my head. And I got to the scene, the line where he's like, when we get back, there are incense, wine, and candles. Such a freaky scene, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's not that freaky.
Maybe, basically what you're looking for.
Maybe Rick James was sheltered. It's entirely possible that, like, you know, he took that into the studio and they're like, don't, this girl's super freaky. And they're like, God, Rick, that's not that bad. We got to sex this up a little bit. And he's like, I don't know, man. And they're like, look, the chorus you have written is super freak, super freak. I saw her boobies once. You know, like, she also kissed me on the mouth. Will that work? Oh, Jesus.
Rick, he's going to get a lot more. Don't worry.
We have to really do so. We got to do a lot of heavy lifting with this one. Anyway, so yeah, the antler's now horny, which is super great. Ultraman Max is like having a lot of trouble fighting him. Well, and there's a scene where he comes at him with the mandibles, and he's got Ultraman Max wrapped.
That's
up.
The shot that I loved.
Yeah,
the shot from Antler's viewpoint.
Oh yeah,
with the mandibles just, around
him, stuck on the camera,
and you're sitting there going, "Oh, that's awesome! That's awesome!" So,
they're like, they show up, and they're like, oh, we have this crystal. And he goes, oh, we'll use it as a lens, and we'll switch the Derringer to beam mode. Sure.
Because why not?
That's the science.
Of course.
They load it into, like, what appears to be a tiny peanut butter jar, and load it into the can. They cock the gun, right? And they shoot it in it, and they're like, oh, Max, make hold sure he still doesn't move. And Ultraman looks down like, you're kidding, right? Like, you're kidding. Fine. Now that you shoot him, like, what, has he only got one shot?
Yeah, because you only have the one shot.
But it's a lens. Nobody's going to shot him. Stupid science.
Yeah, I know. And I said the same thing. I'm like, so he only has the one shot. Sean took a day and a half to build one shot.
Well, he's Ito. He's basically...
No, and I get that. I'm good with that. You only build one, is my point.
Well, no. The thing shoots plenty of shots, but I guess in beam mode, you get one. I know. Well, remember in the old Ultraman, they were like, oh, Ito's been working on a special weapon. And he's like, okay, and he opens up the case, and it's one rocket. Just one. That's all we got.
Well, I guess that's the trope.
Aim for his butthole. You know, like. Oh. All right. All right. Fine. So the shot paralyzes Antler, and Max, of course, destroys him.
Yes.
And Yuri notes that humans should study history to benefit the future.
And the thing I did like is the team is there, and they realize, oh, wait a minute, where's Kaido?
And he's I'm coming from off screen.
Shockingly.
I was over this hill. All right. That's not
sure,
weird.
Sure.
Like, there's no sad. That's the thing that's getting me about the more modern the show gets, that there's no satellite image of the guy. Like, we noticed he went behind this tree, took out a weird thing, and then Ultraman showed up.
Wonder what that is.
Yeah. Weird, huh?
I'll give them the credit that you're not going to be able to get absolutely everybody in a satellite shot, but you're not wrong. Sooner or later, you can get one guy in the satellite
shot. Not only that, but you're going to see Ultraman just show up.
Yeah.
And then somebody goes, can we roll that back?
Just a little bit.
Just to see where he comes out of, like, for whatever reason.
No?
No. Oh, okay. No. Oh, there was a cloud. I'm sorry.
Darn it.
It's the worst.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
We don't really need to do...
Unless submitted on Antler.
Well, let's see if there's any... See if there's any Antler trivia.
Go ahead.
Original bass player for the Rolling Stones. Look at that.
Of course he is. Yeah.
Antler's name originates from the combination of the words antlion, which is the name of a ant-eating fly.
Yes.
There you go.
That was fun.
Who knew? Ultraman Max. An old parchment excavated from the Baradi ruins shows the god of Noah, giant figure handing over the blue stone. This could have been Ultraman Max himself. Okay, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Anything? No. Okay, no. So that's it.
I mean, this episode I like better than the last episode.
Yeah. But they're both good. I mean,
I didn't like the last
episode. Oh, okay.
That's fine. I let them slide because they're going to be some bad ones in the midst. I'm fine with that. The one thing I especially liked on this one was when Ultraman is down in the sinkhole. He just decides to spin and that gets him out. And you're like, Barrett, sure. Yeah, why not? Sure.
I'll have to remember that if I fall into something.
Because that's how it works.
Spin around real fast. That's how Tom Hanks should have got out of that hole in the money pit.
You're not wrong.
Why worry about waiting for her to pull that carpet up? So, yeah, got any recommendations this week?
On Netflix, the series Griselda.
I heard it's good.
Is really good.
Yeah.
And not that you want to feel bad for a woman drug dealer, but at the end, you kind of do.
We were talking about that the other day, about how, in The Sopranos, everybody's a giant piece of garbage.
Right.
But people are like, oh, I kind of like Tony Soprano. And David Chase was like, he's a bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah. At no point is he a good guy. Really, yeah, not
no.
ever.
He's an awful, awful leader. There's nobody on that show that comes across
as in a positive light. Yeah,
really nobody. Not. Nobody. They're all garbage people.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, maybe Dr. Melfi.
Because she's supposed to be a regular doctor.
Yeah. Like, I don't remember her doing anything super unethical. Like I said, I don't remember her doing anything. It's entirely possible that I missed something. But, you know, she's attempting to help him, and I think
she knows what he does, even though he never quite says it directly.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah.
Right.
And she can't, say anything because of patient client, whatever. Right. Fine. That is what it is. But, everybody's a colossal piece of garbage.
Yes. Yes, they certainly are.
Even if you like them. Like, Bacala is the least worst of them, but he's still a killer.
Yeah, that's the basic problem, is that they are all killers.
Yeah.
And all know that they are killers.
They're all awful people. Yeah. Like when Johnny Sack was in prison, I came in while she was watching that, and he's got cancer. And his wife and daughter come in and they're sad, and you're just like, I can't feel bad for this guy. No. I can't feel bad for him. I don't feel bad for these two piece of crap ladies who are living off mafia money. I don't feel bad for anybody in this show. Nobody. Nobody. You're all terrible.
I told you the story when I was working in a catering hall. I was in the backup catering hall for the mob. Not their primary, but their backup.
Yeah.
So they came in any number of times.
Right.
We knew who they were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of them actually offered me a job, and I said, I appreciate it very much.
I'm good.
But
I got a nice union gig.
No, pre-union gig.
Yeah.
I said, I appreciate what you're offering, but I can't do it because I kind of know what you do. And I'm never going to say anything, but I don't want to be part of it either.
Yeah.
And I got to look to be this. Okay, that's no problem.
Yeah.
They knew what they did.
Thank you.
And I was trying to, not get myself hurt in the same time.
No, thank you. No, I'm fine. I'm good. Thank
I'm good.
You. Everything's okay. And anybody else thirsty? Very thirsty.
And we even had the head there once or twice.
Yeah.
And they said, we don't care what he asks for. You will find a way to get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Somebody posted a picture on Reddit the other day of Nancy Sinatra in a bra, underpants, and garters and all that, right? And I was like, immediately after she showed that picture to Frank, he goes, you look beautiful, sweetheart. And she says, thanks, daddy, and walks out, and he gets on the phone, he goes, Jilly, Frank, take that photographer out golfing, would you? Yeah, and make sure that guy dies.
Absolutely.
Yeah, take absolutely. That. What did I say? Take the guy with the Polaroid out fishing or something like that. Anyway, my recommendation this week is a movie from the 60s, I believe. It's called The Glass Bottom Boat.
Okay.
It's got Wholesome Smoke Show Doris Day as the lead. You know, I never appreciated how stupid hot she was until I watched Pillow Talk last year.
There you go.
And I'm like, she's funny, attractive. And she's super hot, and yep. She's super nice.
Yep.
And how have I been sleeping on this all this time? But anyway, the basic premise is that she works for her dad's glass bottom boat company on the weekends, where she's the mermaid that swims under the boat.
Right, of course.
And then during the week, she works at NASA at Cape Canaveral.
Oh, there you go.
And then she ends up having like a meet cute with like this famous doctor that works there. And they get off course on the wrong foot.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, very Three's Company.
Hey.
And then Ben, he starts pursuing her. And because he knows all about her file, he starts tailoring his personality to what she would like. And so, but she, of course, doesn't know this. And then the CIA thinks she's a spy because she keeps calling on the phone and then speaking to somebody called Vladimir, which is her dog. So she calls the dog. When the phone rings, the dog runs around the house. Like getting exercise, so she calls the dog like 5 times a day. So yeah, she's making weird phone calls where she counts to 10 and says, "That's enough, Vladimir," and hangs up. Like, and then real hijinks ensue. Paul Lynde is in it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He plays a security guard. Dom DeLuise is in it.
Oh, nice.
He's amazing in it.
There you go. I'll have to look it up.
Dick Martin of Rowan and Martin's Laugh. Really? You know, the funny one?
Yeah.
The one that everybody decides was not the colossal a-hole. It's really a lot of fun. It's free on YouTube with ads right now.
Yeah, of course.
So, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I had a good time with it.
There you go.
And I can't think of the male lead because I don't think I've ever seen him in anything else.
That's fine. That's not a big deal.
But yeah, The Glass Bottom Boat, you guys. It's enjoyable. So, rate, review, and subscribe. Tell everybody that you enjoy the podcast. And
the Suicide Prevention Helpline is 988. They're for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Talk or text, because the world is better with you anytime. So, on behalf of the Science Patrol, I am Rich Conrad.
I'm Pat Rooney.
Sally Forth, you guys.
Take care, everybody.
Bring back Bob.
Please.
Music for this podcast is provided by Terminal Sunburn. Visit terminalsunburn.bandcamp.com. Post-production by Casey Kittle for Faces for Radio Productions. Visit us on the web at ultramanpodcast.com or find us on Facebook. Our email address is ultramanpodcast@gmail.com. The Science Patrol can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and wherever else you find your podcasts. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Until next time, for the Science Patrol, I'm Gretchen Brooks from the Kaiju Cast.